If you haven't been paying attention lately, it appears that right now, we as a nation, we as a people, it's like we are in the midst of this storm. And there's just so much that's going on. Now, as I look around, I know that we're all, this isn't the first storm that we've ever been through. This isn't the first thing. This is just something that people have had to endure for a long time. But the challenge for us today is just, what do we do? How do we go through that storm? How do we weather that storm? How do we make it so we can respond not in fear but in faith? And one of the challenges that we'll face is how do we take the fear, because fear is real. It's not like we're not supposed to have fear, but how do we transition from fear to faith, or how do we allow faith to help us through that fearful time, that stormy time, that time in our life when, guys, really face it, just things are just absolutely totally out of control. We don't know what to do. And those are okay. It's okay to not know what to do. However, it's not okay to not know what to do and then just do nothing. When we don't know what to do, that's when we really have got to kind of buckle down. We really have to say, okay, God, what is the next thing that I can do? What are you leading me to do? And when we come to this third question that Jesus asked, it's the what I call the first of the two boat stories. We're going to do two boat stories. This boat story is the one when Jesus and his disciples were in the boat, and Jesus just said, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. And so they went to the other side of the lake. And we find this story in Matthew chapter 8 and beginning in verse 18. And there's just a few verses we'll look at. But as we look at the story, let's just imagine ourselves as being part of that crew on that boat. What would it be like for you to be on that boat? Let me read these verses. Matthew 8, 18, when Jesus saw large crowds around him, gave the order to go to the other side of the sea. A scribe approached him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the skies have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Lord, another of his disciples said, first let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to die. But he said to them, why are you fearful, you little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. So the story is basically set up as Jesus is ministering. A couple of guys come to Jesus and they say, hey, Lord, we'll follow you. And Jesus, in a sense, says, you know what, if that's going to happen, here's some of the challenges that we're going to face. And there's just a couple of examples here. You know, the first guy, he told him the challenge would be, it's not going to be a life of luxury to follow Jesus. And even today, we cannot assume that following Jesus means that we're just going to live in a lap of luxury, because that's not the case. The second one said, Lord, I need to go bury my father. And in essence, what he was saying is, yeah, Lord, there's some stuff at home I need to take care of. I'm not quite ready to go. You know, the family needs me, and I haven't got my inheritance yet, and all of the different probabilities there. And Jesus just said, hey, look, just let that take care of itself. You follow me. And then we see this story of him getting in the boat with these disciples. And as they get in this boat, Jesus gives them this direction, go to the other side. And so they do. And then we know what happens as a result. But in this process, something very amazing happens, and something happens to the point where Jesus, it's almost like not only does he rebuke the sea and the wind, it's almost like he's rebuking the disciples as well. And then he asks that question, why are you afraid? You of little faith. And that's the question that we want to kind of ponder for ourselves today. Do you have that picture, Brad? I want to show you a painting and see if you can see this painting. I came across this several weeks ago. I was just doing, you know, of course, doing some background study and research on this topic. And I came across a painting, and it's called Christ on the Sea of Galilee. And it was painted by Rembrandt. It was painted in 1633. And Rembrandt painted this, and It's become a fabulous painting. Do we have it? No, we don't have it? Okay. All right. So anyway, in this painting, and let me try to help describe it for you. And if you want to, just kind of Google that. Look that up. Look that painting up. But it's called Christ on the Sea of Galilee. And what it has is, man, it has this boat that is just being horribly wrecked by this storm. And in the front of the boat, we see some guys, you know, they're trying to keep the sails together, and another one standing on the, you know, on the fore, you know, up on the mast of the ship. And then there's some in the back and the aft of the boat, and, you know, a couple of them are praying. One of them's kind of leaning over the side. It looks like he's throwing up. And there's Jesus. It looks like, and then this picture of Jesus is like he just woke him up. And some of these disciples are around Jesus, and it's just at the moment that he wakes up. But the thing I love about the painting is there aren't 13 men in the boat. There are 14 men in the boat. So we know that the 12 disciples are there, and Jesus, which makes 13. But almost in the center of the boat, there's this man who basically is looking right at you. He's got a blue cap on, and he has his hand on his head, and he's got this expression like, you know, like, what do I do? And that person is Rembrandt himself. So what he does is he paints himself into this scene as if to say, what would I do if I was in that position? He wasn't working hard to try to get things fixed. He wasn't praying. He was just like, oh, my word, what goes on? And I bring that up because isn't that where we are today? We're like, what do we do? What is the next step that I can take in the midst of this storm? And so I think what Jesus is going to teach us here in this question are three things that are just, that are the three consecutive, continual, these have always got to be present in our lives in order for us to turn fear into faith. The first one is we need to talk about the relationship. To have fear instead of faith, we must be committed to the relationship with Christ. We have to be committed. We see that in these two men that Jesus had spoke to before they got in the boat. This scribe, and I like this scribe because this guy, he's got some courage. He's one of these Jewish leaders, one of these Jewish religious guys, and you know, he's got some courage to go to Jesus and tell him, Jesus, I'll follow you, man. I'm ready to follow you. But see, he wasn't committed to that relationship because all it took was Jesus to say, well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. Now, we can't be 100% sure that this man didn't follow, but we do know that he didn't get in the boat. Now, Matthew has an account of this, Mark has an account in Mark 4, and Luke has an account of this story as well. So all three of those encounters are similar, and one of those encounters, one of those stories has other boats with Jesus. So we're not sure if other boats were in the storm, but we do know that at the beginning, before they set sail across, there were other boats. So yes, I guess there could be the possibility that this man was a follower, but by and large, I don't think so. Same with the second man, another of his disciples. Now, this was an interesting query because this was another one of Jesus' disciples, not one of the 12, because Jesus had multiple groups of disciples. The 12 were those handpicked with him all the time guys. But many times they would have other people that would follow. They wouldn't follow as detailed. They wouldn't follow, you know, as committed as these 12 were. But there were still other disciples. So for me, when I see this, I think, where am I? Am I in the boat? Am I making a half-hearted attempt to be a follower? Am I just, you know what, that's just too tough. I think I'll just turn around and go home. And I think that's the challenge of the question. Where are we? Are we even in the boat? Because committed means that we are following Jesus. If I'm committed to my relationship with Jesus, I'm following him. I'm there. Oh, man, it's not a perfect following. It's not that everything is done perfectly. It's just, hey, I'm there. I'm with him. I'm committed to that challenge. I think to be committed in that relationship also means that I'm aligned to his will. If Jesus has asked me to do something, I'm doing that. I'm aligned to that will. I'm committed to follow, and in following, I'm doing the things that he's called me to do. Once again, that's not a perfect science. You know, we know the perfection of following Jesus and being obedient to him, but it's still a daily challenge. It's still hard, but we got to be committed to it. Let's do the things that he's called us to do, committed to his will. And then finally, to be committed means that we trust the process. We just trust the process. When I fly, and I'm not really a keen on flying aircraft, I don't enjoy it anymore. Maybe it's just all the years of flying in the military and crazy planes and what have you. But I just don't like it that well. And so I get on that airplane, and when I get on the airplane, I'm not thinking about, you know, how do you steer it? How do you get it to go up and go down? I think I could probably get it to go down pretty easy. But you know, all these things, I'm not, you know what I think about? What I'm thinking about is the pilot. I think about the guy in charge. Because if he came back and said, hey, Rich, I know that you're maybe a little nervous. I know that you know, you want to be the one flying. Do you want to come up here and fly it? And I'm like, no, I don't. Nobody wants me to fly. But what I'm thinking about is, how bad does this guy want to get home tonight? You know, how interested is this guy in doing everything possible to get this airplane back on the ground where we want it to go? And so that's what I think about. And that's what I pray about when I get on an airplane. God, I don't care about the aircraft. I'm praying for that pilot, you know. But that's the process. Isn't that how it is? Now, I know that, you know, there's a couple folks that know how to fly. And yeah, but the process, we got to be committed. We just trust the process. If Jesus has told us there's a certain way to do things, if we're following him in that relationship, we just trust that he knows what he's doing. Now, when you begin to see the storm, and as you picture yourself in this boat and this storm, man, are you trusting Jesus? That would be a hard thing to do because the waves are so real. The storm is so real. But in order for us to turn fear into faith, just be committed to following. Be committed to the relationship with Jesus. That's always step number one. And then step number two is finding courage. How do you find courage in the midst of the crazy circumstances? You've got to summon the courage. You've got to muster the courage. Old farmer one day saw these airplanes that began to fly and crop dust, and we began to use them. And that farmer's like, you'll never catch me up in one of those things. Man was not designed to fly. And they had one of those air shows that used to travel around, and they landed this little plane, and they were giving people free rides in this aircraft. And finally, all his buddies talked him into it. And he said, that's the most ridiculous thing. I don't trust those things. Anyway, so they get him in and they take him up and he flies around. They bring him down and said, well, Joe, how did it go? He goes, well, I guess it was okay. No big deal. Well, were you a little fearful? I mean, how did you feel about it? He says, well, I really didn't worry about it because I just didn't put all my weight down on the seat. It's like, okay, I don't know how that worked for him. But so in other words, for him, he didn't trust the process. He didn't trust the process to the point that he just summoned the courage, and he just went and he did it. So the thing about these men, and I want to go back to the text, and just real quickly in verse 23, as he got in the boat, so here these men are, they're in the boat. As he got in the boat, his disciples what? Followed him. So there's the following, there's the circumstance where these men are with him, they're in the boat. Suddenly, now if we pause in Mark's gospel, and I want to turn over to Mark 4, and I'm going to kind of give a little bit more detail. In Mark 4:35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So the same thing occurs in Matthew and in Mark, a little bit different. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was already in the boat and other boats were with him. So in essence, they're in the boat. Luke's gospel says that they're in the boat, probably sitting in the boat chatting, and then Jesus just all of a sudden says, hey, let's go to the other side. So in all of these occurrences, there's Jesus in the boat with these disciples. They were in the presence of the Lord. It wasn't like Jesus stood on the shore and Jesus said, hey, y'all, I'll see you on the other side. There was another time that he did that, but this time he's with them. So in order for us to have courage, know that if we are following Jesus, he's in the storm with you. You are not alone. So in order for us to summon up that courage, understand that Christ is with us. Now, I know what you want. I know what I want. We have a different type of Jesus in our boat than the Jesus that was in this boat. Because what kind of a Jesus was in that boat? He was sleeping. And I don't think we want a sleeping Savior, do we? When we want Christ's attention, we want undivided attention, do we not? But remember what the question that Jesus asks is. Why are you fearful? Where's your faith? See? So in this particular case, the courage comes first by knowing that we're in the presence of the Lord. Second, we're in the will of the Lord. Were they not doing exactly what Jesus told them to do? What did Jesus tell them to do? Let's go to the other side. That's what he told them. Let's go to the other side. So the assumption should be, we should be able to assume, if Jesus is with them, and if Jesus tells them to go from point A to point B, everything's going to be okay, right? Right? Well, that's the assuming. That's what we assume. But sometimes it's not. I like to dig a little deeper, and I like to think, when did Jesus plan this storm? Was it already preordained? Was he right before he took a nap, did he tell the sea, okay, give me about 15 minutes once I hit REM sleep, go ahead and kick in? We don't know that. We're not sure how it all pans out, but we do know that they're in the presence of the Lord and they're in the will of the Lord. Number three, they're being directed by the Lord. They are being absolutely obedient to what Jesus told them. If we are following Jesus, if we are with Jesus, if we are doing what he's told us to do, if we are being directed by his leadership exactly what he's told us to do, don't you think things are going to be okay? I think so. It's hard, but it's real. Because the last thing we see is that they are on mission with the Lord. They are on mission with Jesus. They did not stray from their mission. They are still on mission with the Savior. So what in the world can happen? I think here's the problem with these disciples. They didn't have the whole picture yet. We have the whole picture. We've got the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the completed text of God's Word. We have the very explicit, exact direction from the Lord, the great commandment, the great commission, the very specific things that we know we're supposed to do. So, what do we do when the storm comes? That's the key. Do we step out in faith, or do we just see the storm as something that's fearful? So, there's a lot of good things that are going here. There's a lot of good things that are happening. I'm sure that if I got on an aircraft and I'm flying from point A to point B, and if there's a whole bunch of airplane pilots that are passengers, you know, flying to their next destination so they can get their own planes and whatever, I'm going to feel pretty good because, I mean, there's a whole lot of guys that are going to have to check out before there's nobody capable of flying the airplane. But if it's just me and the pilot, oh, I don't know, hope you're feeling okay today. You know, I mean, there's a little bit more of a sense of fear. But if Jesus is there, what does it matter? That's why we've got to summon courage. We've got to dig deep, and we've got to have the courage. And how do we get that? Well, let's get into some practical steps. So we know that we need to be following. We know that we need to just dig down and find the courage. Finally, let's just be confident. I think it just comes to a matter of confidence. Do we have confidence in Christ's authority? The last thing these guys say, who is this man? Look at verse 41. I'm in Mark. In verse 41, they were terrified and they asked one another, who is this? Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obeys him. Now, there's a couple things I like about that question. The first thing I like about it is these men have already committed to following Jesus and they are not 100% sure who this guy is yet. They don't have to have all the answers. They don't have to have it all figured out before they start following. Neither do we. You don't have to have all the answers. You know what you need? You just need faith. Jesus says, if he's who he says he is, I think I can follow him. Not fair weather following, even sometimes the foul weather following. Because we are going to face the storm. Guys, I don't think this is the first storm most of these guys have ever been in. The majority of these guys were fishermen. They had fathers who were fishermen. They grew up fishing. They knew what storms were like on the sea. They knew. And they knew how to handle them. They knew what to do when the storm came. So none of this was new to them. But the difference is, A, Jesus told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. B, he was with them. So I think, I sometimes ask myself, what would they have done if Jesus wasn't with them? What would they have done if they were in their own boat without Christ? What happens to us when we are not with him and we face the storms in life? We feel the same way that they felt. We become fearful. And in Mark's gospel, they say, don't you care that we're going to die? You know, that, you wake Jesus up, man, he's tired, he's taking a nap, here's the storm. You wake him up, hey, don't you even care that we're going to die? You ever ask God that question? God, don't you even care? We know he cares. We know he cares so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. He loves us in that way. He's given us this amazing challenge and this charge to go and do what he's called us to do. We could do that, but we got to be confident in his authority. Back in Matthew's gospel, verse 27, the men were amazed. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Are we confident in Christ's authority? Now, to cry out to Jesus in desperation, that's a natural thing to do. Anytime we find ourselves in desperation, it is very natural to cry out to Jesus. Do not stop doing that. But what happens when his followers cry out to him in obedience? What happens when we are being obedient and we are desperate about obedience and we're so desperate to see the things of God take place, we're so desperate to see the things of Jesus take place that we continue to cry, Lord, I need you. Because most of the time, we spend more time crying out to him when we're desperate than when we do trying to be desperate to be obedient. It's easy to cry out when Jesus is napping in a boat and there's nothing that you can do. Luke's gospel says that the wind was bad, the waves were bad. They were in danger. That's what Luke says. They were in danger. So the danger is real. The storms are real. But what do we do? What should they have done? You know what we should do? We ought to try to figure out a way to lay down next to Jesus and take our own nap in the boat. Why not? If Jesus is napping, why can't we nap? He wasn't concerned about the storm. Why are we concerned about the storm? That's the hard thing, isn't it? And here's why. And this is just what happens. It just happens this way, that we can be so confident that Jesus can save us, so we put faith in Jesus to save us, but it's really hard to put faith in Jesus to sustain us. Isn't it the same faith? What's the difference between the two? The faith that saves us is a desperation cry to the Lord to save us because we know that we are in a very difficult position. We are going to die, and we will spend an eternity in hell because of our sin. So in desperation, we'll cry to Christ, and we'll ask him to calm the storm. But when we're believers, we've got his word, and we've got one another, and we've got faith, and we've got the Holy Spirit, and we've got this great challenge and this direction before us. Do we not cry out the same way? And I think what this story teaches me the most is what I do with my faith. You see, I don't think faith means that all we do is turn to Jesus and we make him do all the work. That's what we like. Jesus, you do the work. No. I think what faith really means is that I'm going to do the hard stuff knowing that I'm doing it in the power of Jesus and in the presence of Jesus. I still have got to do my part. And it's not like we just sit back and we just let him go. It's a partnership. Together we do this. And that's what faith lets us do. I'm not sure what these guys should have done. I'm not sure. I know what I would have done. I probably would have done the same thing. First, I'd have tried to figure out how to keep the boat from falling apart. Second, I'd have tried to get my motor started or something. Whatever I would have done, I would have went through some of that immediate action to make sure, hey, I'm not going to drown. But in desperation, when everything came, I'm going to wake Jesus up. I mean, that should be a normal thing to do. Hey, Jesus, can you help me out here? But right or wrong, the key here is that they don't have faith. That's the key. Why are you fearful, you of little faith? Here's the problem, and let me close with this. We journey through life, and we know there's ups and downs. We've seen some great times. We see some not so great times. We know that every time we turn the corner, there could be another challenge facing us. But we have an option. The storms of life are real, and the storms of life are powerful. And when we see the storm of life, we have to decide what has more power, the storms of life or a Jesus that's sleeping in a boat. Every single time, Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority. We've got to trust that. We've got to trust that. So when we follow him, we're confident. Fear begins to be replaced with faith. When we commit to the relationship and we're following Jesus, that fear begins to submit to faith. When we are doing our very best to respond in faith, to be obedient, to cry out in obedience as opposed to just being desperate because of the circumstances. And now we find courage. I'm going to move forward because I know I need to move forward. And then just be confident in his authority. Is Jesus who he says he is? If this Jesus can save you, can this Jesus not sustain you? Can he not give you what you need to weather the storms of life? Oh yes, we pray that he just speaks and it's calm and smooth sailing. But we do know in the scripture that the water didn't stay calm. We know that there were many more storms that these disciples had to face. Some of them were literal, but a lot of them were figurative. So there are some principles that we can follow, but we need to ask ourselves, why are we afraid? Where's our faith? And who do we put our faith in? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these stories of these men that had to endure so much. And I can only imagine what it's like to be in that boat and to, you know, find those winds and that wave getting ready to swamp a boat. What would I do? You know, what would be my response? And man, we just like to say that, oh, well, we would just respond in faith and we'd just be so good and so cool, but that doesn't always happen that way. We just need faith. So Lord, as we ponder this question through this day and through this week, I would pray that you would give us some insight. Give us some step-by-step challenges. How can we answer that question? Where is our faith? How do we respond? What can we do different? We know we need to be in relationship. We know we need to trust. We need to know that, and we know that we need to just truly understand and believe that you are the authority. And no matter what the storms of life are like, you are always more powerful than those storms. So let's rest well in that. Let's abide in that. Let's trust that. Day by day, starting today. Yes, God, things are hard, but you're a great God. And Jesus is a mighty, mighty Savior. Help us day by day. Live by faith and not by fear. We ask in his great name. Amen.